I'm a real deal. I'll shoot your liver out and hand it to you.
Welcome back to another episode of the Cue It Up podcast, and I am excited to be joined today by Emily Frazier again. Emily, how's it going?
Yeah, good, thank you. I'm here in Saudi Arabia, obviously working on our World Cup of Pool event that's taking place at the end of June. So I've had a very productive 4-day trip, sort of flying between Jeddah and Riyadh, lots of very exciting meetings. And just waiting to take my 1 a.m. flight back to the UK so I can get back to the office and start working, really. So, but thrilled to be on here. It's a great podcast.
Thank you. And 1 a.m. flights are never, ever, ever any fun. But is there any of that news that you'd like to talk about as far as some of the choices for the World Cup of Pool or any of other matchroom stuff?
Yeah, I mean, it's fantastic news that we've, the World Cup of Pool is coming here to Saudi Arabia. I mean, obviously, it's the first thing on everyone's minds is the prize money. We've been sitting at $250,000 for ever since it started, and all of a sudden that's doubled. So we've got a total prize fund of $500,000. Each team, just to turn up, receives $5,000. I mean, it's just next to none as to the potential that we've got here in Saudi Arabia and the future for pool here as well. And you know, just being amongst the meetings here with the different federations, it's very exciting as to what we can build here with coaching younger generation of players, perhaps even more events here. So lots to do. We have a very, very good production planned. We've got huge TV coverage that's coming in for this event. So if you imagine what the World Cup of Pool has been like previous years, times that by 10, and that's what's going to happen. You know, the players are going to turn up, they're going to have to attend a gala dinner, and it's going to be absolutely just magnificent. So I'm really excited, but a lot of work that we have to do for our team. Obviously, it's important we start contracting the different teams for the event, which we will be doing obviously very soon. The aim is to try and use our newly rankings, but obviously it's still quite early on in the year. We'll obviously touch base on the rankings, I'm guessing, very shortly, but the thought process is to obviously try and use something like that. But because things are early doors, we obviously will be looking at how this works for the event and the TV coverage and things like that. So players will be getting contracted as soon as I'm sort of back in the office, and announcements should be following very soon.
The prize pool is like doubling it over 1 year is just incredible. That is great for the players. It's great for the fans. The production you guys are going to be putting on for the World Cup of Pool, I mean, this is, oh, now we just need somebody else besides Albin and Mario to win it, so we can have some excitement on, you know, who's going to win the event. And this is going to be perfect.
Course, and it's not even, you know, about the prize money here. This is like my third trip out here, and I've never been to such a an environment where the people here are so their hospitality is just next to none. Everyone is so kind, and I think the players are going to really, really enjoy it here. Food's great, the people are lovely, and it's a really good atmosphere here, and I'm really excited about holding the event here. It's going to be magnificent. Like I said, the production is just going to be next to none.
Definitely. So we can move on from there, and we can talk about another huge bit of news that Matchroom has acquired, and they have now bought the World Nine Ball Championships. Would you like to talk a little about that?
Oh, I'd love to talk about that. The World Nine Ball, gosh, it's that was quite an achievement for us. Kind of had our eyes set on it for a little while. You know, we are the leading promoters in the sport. It only makes sense that we have the world championship. There is obviously a lot that we can do to the event. No disrespect to anyone that's held it in the past, but we are the ones that take events, and we completely revamp them as such, put our Matchroom spin on it. And this is something that the World Championship desperately needs. Obviously, we've acquired it in perpetuity from the WPA. It's been a great relationship between us with them, and opening the field to both female and male is absolutely brilliant. And we had the full support of the WPA for that, which is just fantastic. You know, the way that this sport is moving forwards in is that the women are just as good as the men. And even though this sport is very, very male dominated, if you think that you are one of the best players in the world, male or female, you should be playing amongst the best. So the World Championship should have female competitors in it, and they should be the top female competitors. I'm still slightly disappointed at how many, the lack of female presence at our US Open event, but it's our second year. And I hope to encourage female players to obviously, and I urge them to participate in this event, because not only is it good for their career at a professional level, it's also great commercially. I mean, these are the events that are going to boost professional players' careers. You know, it's TV coverage. We're not just live on Facebook. We're broadcasting to over 150 countries in the world, and that is television coverage. This is fantastic to every professional pool player. And so I do urge that female participants, you know, get behind this really. And just to touch base, obviously, on the World Nine Ball, having that open field, it's how it should be. And that's how we'd like to move forward with Matchroom Pool. Obviously, it's going to be this October, the 14th to the 18th. Venue is still TBC, and the reason why it is, we wanted to get the dates in the diary for everyone. It's very important that we don't clash with our own organisers within the sport. Everyone would like to build Nine Ball Pool and pool itself, and so it's important that we don't all clash, but we wanted to get the dates out there. But we also want to find a great venue for this event. We want to make sure that the actual venue itself is at professional, prestigious level. We want to make sure that accommodation is on site or close to the venue for the players. We want to make sure it's near international airports. It needs to be the best of the best. And that is why we're putting some careful consideration into where we are staging this event. So news to come soon on that. We're going to increase the prize money straight away. Obviously, that's the main aim for the World Nine Ball, is to go from one level to the next. My personal aim is that we don't just jump one level. I like to jump three or four levels, and that the same as one level for me. But we obviously need to increase the prize money. We'll be announcing that very soon, and obviously the structure of the payout. We'll also be looking very closely at the qualification and the player entry into the event. Previously, players have been selected obviously from different federations. We would like to remain with that kind of rankings, with that system. But we'd also like to introduce a few new things, for instance, like having the top females participating in this event. Also, I want all of the Matchroom champions in this event. The Matchroom events are the best of the best. The champions should be in this event. So there's lots to do on it, lots to change, especially the format. I found it a little bit tedious to watch as a casual sports fan. So that's something that, you know, we're very excited to change and to make it more appealing to the casual viewer, but also a better event for the players to actually play in themselves, making sure that it should be as hard as possible for them. It's the World Championship. If you are the world champion, you are the best. And we need to make it the best playing facilities and the best playing conditions. So lots to do. I'm very excited.
You're always really good at getting my excitement levels up for things too. There was a lot that you said in there. I would like to address some of it. The female players for the world or the nine ball championships. Absolutely. Women in all events. I cannot echo that enough, as well as juniors. That is one thing that I love about Matchroom, is you guys do not exclude your juniors. The Derby City Classic finished recently, and, you know, there was a big pushback having it at a casino and not having, you know, monster players like Fedor Gorst or Aklanti Kachi. I mean, you just can't call yourself a world champion if you know, the current world champion Fedor Gorst isn't in the field. And I think that's one thing that Matchroom definitely has going right for it, is you guys include all of the players, women, juniors, everybody. And that is definitely something
like
that's good.
We'd like to work closer with juniors in our events. I won't go into any further detail on it because I can't give it away too much. But we are certainly looking at something to do with a juniors event as such, perhaps. So more details to come on that. But we are really looking at global expansion for Nine Ball Pool.
That is awesome. So we can move on from that. That is all extremely exciting news. And we will move on to some more exciting news for the U.S. and Europe fans of the podcast. The Moscone Cup captains have been announced. Would you like to chat about them?
Cool. We created some stir for this, didn't we?
Before I let you get into this, I want to ask one question.
Okay.
How much lobbying did Carl do, and did it work?
Oh, my God. No, of course not. Do you really think that I'm going to listen to what Carl Boyers has to say? Before he did all of that, I'd already made my mind up. But I was toying with him a little bit, and I was making him think that he had a chance. And I think I did at one point made him think that he was captain, just obviously to be a bit of a bitch. But in all fairness, the promotion he was doing just got people talking about it. I think I'd actually come off of Facebook for a little bit. Sometimes I have to shut myself off so I can focus. And you can sometimes get pulled into social media quite a lot. And I'm sure a lot of people can relate to it. It's quite hard to focus sometimes when you're so drawn into social media. And
especially right after a giant event.
Yeah. And I think I just come off of it for a bit. And I was focusing for our ping pong event, basically. It's very hard to switch off from one sport and then to go straight into something completely different. So sometimes I have to, because I'm so passionate about pool, I have to sometimes switch off from it. So then I can actually get into my other sports, because I still love those, you know, dearly. So I think I switched off for a bit. And then then Carl started sending it to me, like, you know, on WhatsApp, all of these pictures. And I just thought, oh my goodness. And where he's obviously edited them. And to be fair to him, they were actually quite amusing.
The one on the airplane was, I still crack up thinking about that one sometimes.
Yeah. In all fairness, I'd made my mind up way before it. It was more of an amusement factor. But I mean, I do hate to say it, but the Moscone captains, it just needed a little bit of a shakeup. It just needed to change, need to step up a gear. And I really hope people understand that previous years, probably before my time, the Moscone Cup captaincy was, you know, a lot less money, a lot less fee. And so the captains would turn up, they would have their four-day event, and it would be a four-day event because the champions party would be that night. So it was 4 days. That's it. Maybe one interview the day before. And, you know, the fee was lower. So rightly so, they turn up for their 4 days, that's it. And as the last couple of years have been developing, obviously we've been seeing the kind of direction that the Moscone Cup can go in. And you kind of sit back and you think, what are we doing with these cocktail parties? What are we doing with, you know, like these smaller little things that were kind of just a little bit old-fashioned in comparison to what we were doing in previous years? Let's turn this sport around. Let's have official press conferences. I know it was a little bit chalk and cheese, and people, you know, either loved the press conference or they hated it because players seemed like they were forcing, you know, their hatred to the other team. But at the end of the day, people were tuning in to watch press conferences, and obviously I'm biased, but it was thoroughly entertaining. You know, we had the face-off with the two captains, and that face-off actually sparked it a little bit personally to me, where I saw there wasn't enough fight there. Obviously, Johan absolutely killed Marcus when it came to that. But this event is not a four-day event. It is 365 days a year. That is the Moscone Cup. We have the rankings. We have players being able to qualify into the event. We have the coaches or the captains that are consistently working on the program and the players that are qualifying into this show. So this is a full year round event. And therefore, the role of the captaincy is 10 times harder and 10 times more demanding. You know, Johan was a fantastic captain, absolutely fantastic. He turned USA around, and I've said it before, there was a chance where our matching pool team could have done a much better job than the USA players. Not no disrespect to them. Individually, they were five fantastic players, but together as a team, oh my goodness, like our team worked better than them. You know, you've got to be a team together, and Johan helped us develop and change that into a different direction. But also under the radar, Jeremy played a significant part in that change. He communicated with the players to a level that I've never seen before. The players respect him so much. They also respect Johan, but a different level of respect. He's a player and he's still on the circuit. He commentates and he eats, breathes and lives pool. And he communicated with them the last 2 years. And it really, really, I noticed it so much. And obviously you see it behind the scenes and you see how they all interact with one another. And it was very nice to see that level of respect both ways. And he cares so much about these players. I mean, I'm inundated with messages from him. I think he wants to call me this evening because he's got so many ideas for this year. But he really, really cares for these players and he wants to see them earn well. He wants to see prize money go up. He wants to see all of that. And obviously everyone wants to see that, but it's relaying in his actions. And this year it needed just a lot more organisation and a lot more, you know, dedication. And some people, you know, this is, again, it's not a £1 million deal that these captains are receiving. It's not the Ryder Cup. It's still a lot of work. And sometimes that is a bit too much of an ask for some people. And I appreciate that. You know, I probably expect a little bit too much from people. But at the end of the day, I think Jeremy is a fantastic option for Team USA. And like I said, I've said it before, I don't know Joey too well. He was very highly recommended from Jeremy. I mean, it's Jeremy's team. If he wants him as vice captain, then so be it, because that's who he thinks is going to help him to win the cup this year for the third time running. So I'm very excited to see how these two play out together. They are going to be at all of our matchroom events this year, World Cup of Pool, World Pool Masters, the World Nine Ball, and so they're all going to be together consistently, all spending a lot of time with one another. So I'm excited about these two, and also I think Jeremy's got, you know, everyone's probably gives him a little bit of stick because Johan's won it for 2 years running. And, you know, for instance, if he loses this year, it could turn around and say, oh, maybe Johan is the saviour. Maybe he's the only one that can bring USA to victory. I don't think that is the case because I have a lot of faith in Jeremy. But imagine how that feels resting on his shoulders. He's got a lot of pressure on him, but he is also a highly intelligent man and he knows what he's doing. So I have a lot of confidence in him. On the other side of things, obviously, you've got Team Europe. I think I've touched base on it before. You know, Marcus is what a fantastic, you know, player, coach, and his mentality with players and teams. You know, I've sat and spoken with him, and some of the teaching that he does back at home is just, you know, really inspiring. And he's been a fantastic captain. He's had a really good ride, but I won't, of course, go into it again in too much detail, but just to touch base on what I mentioned, the captaincy is at higher demand now. Again, it's 365 days in a year for the Moscone Cup, and it's a lot of hard work. And I think it just needed a little, you know, new lease of life as such. And we had a lot of captains, a lot of players write in and ask, you know, for captaincy role. A lot of players. And so it was quite hard to choose from, but I'm going to tell you the honest truth. Alex Laley was my front runner the whole time. And he was the first person that came into mind, to be completely honest. And I always feel that you go with your gut. He's won it once. He's lost it once. I always think third time's lucky. He's obviously coupled with someone like Carl Boyes, who's very flamboyant. He comes across as the Joker. But again, you can't underestimate Carl. He is very watching smart. These Moscone Cups. Yeah, he is watching them in and out. He is so knowledgeable on Nine Ball Pool. He's participated in these events. He knows the Moscone Cup crowd. He's very similar to Jason Shaw. Jason excels in these matchroom events because he knows the TV cameras. He thrives off of that atmosphere, and he thrives off of that, you know, the pump and that engagement that he gets with the fans. Cole knows all of this. He's perfect for a vice captain. He's not ready for captaincy yet. He's got a few more years. Well, probably 10 years, but I'd say that. But he's not ready. He's not ready for it yet. But he will make a great vice captain. And even though he'll come across as, you know, the joker as such, he will play a significant role in the format of the event. So very much, you know, chalk and cheese with him and Alex. Alex is very serious and he's the coach as such. And also at the end of the day, we get to save a little bit of money and we don't have to pay him an off-the-rail fee, which is always fantastic.
Yeah, of course. I don't know. I mean, Alex was a little bit before my time. I don't know a ton about him. I know that if I would have made this choice, I would have liked to have seen somebody like Mika Eminen or Ralph Suquet. But that is just, you know, those two players are very, very popular in the USA. So we know them very well. Alex, like I said, I don't know much about him. I know I'm excited to find out. And going to the kind of the Carl being a joker.
Yep.
I think that there is definitely a role for that. And Marcus kind of played that role a little bit, kind of with his Napoleon hat and always kind of playing the little big man syndrome person.
Yep.
And I kind of like moving that role from the main captain to the vice captain, just because you guys are really trying to push this as being a sport and this being as athletes. And I think creating the serious side to at least the front of it is a very, very wise choice in your guys' part.
Yeah, thank you. But to touch base on, obviously, because Ralph and Mika are obviously fantastic players, they've got a lot of experience at the Moscone Cup. But again, you need to take a step back and think about the bigger picture. You need to look at how these players these captains communicate with their team. Also, and this is what is happening moving forward in sport, in the sport of pool, is that the younger players are coming through the ranks. You need players that are relatable and that are able to communicate with a team. And if you are 5-0 down on day one, bloody hell, you need someone that's going to pull you into that room and give you a good telling off, basically. And so you need all of these different variables to the coach and the vice coach. And that is why Alex and Carl will really, really make this work. Alex is very knowledgeable. And I agree with you that Alex is a little bit before my time. But I have worked with him a lot on punditry, obviously, for our events. He is extremely knowledgeable in this game. And he has experienced probably very serious situations, you know, when you might be 5-0 down or you may need to, you know, pull it out somewhere sort of thing. And I think he can handle these situations. So I understand what you mean, that, you know, some of these other players are coming through and, you know, the Ralphs, the Mika, the Darren Appleton. But again, this is the bigger picture. We've got press conferences. We've got an entire team that they are responsible for. And for me, Alex was ready for this.
Talk me into it. Sounds perfect. So we can leave that there and we can move on to our next topic, which everybody put on their safe space hats. This got everybody all up in a tizzy. Matchroom released their own rankings and you either love them or you hated them. And I think it's brilliant. Just getting people talking about Matchroom when Matchroom, you know, isn't putting on events. You guys are marketing geniuses.
It's like we do it on purpose, right? look, the rankings is something that it's been on our radar for a little while now, because we recently acquired the US Open. So the rankings was on our radar at that point. We recently obviously acquired the World Nine Ball. And so again, it was on our radar. What we're trying to do at Matchroom Pool is link all of our shows. So even before the US Open, we want to link the World Pool Masters, the Moscone Cup, the World Cup of Pool in a way that, you know, it's difficult because they are obviously completely different events. You've got the Moscone, which is a 5-man team event. You've got the World Cup Pool, which is Scotch doubles. Then you've got the Masters, which is obviously single elimination. So the way that things have been previously with Matchroom is that some players don't get in on merit. And this is something that we are moving away from. Players should earn their right into the best events in their sport. And the reasoning behind the rankings is that we can now look at the different tiers and the different levels of the events and actually award points that we see are the right points in order to make our shows. Obviously, previously in the past, the Moscone Cup Team Europe have got in off of rankings. USA has not. It's always been wildcard selection because the structure for Team USA for the Moscone Cup has not been great, obviously, in the past, because that's been a lot down to the player's attitude and the team structure. Now that is changing. We are now have introduced a structure for Team USA Moscone. Now, this was actually the main thinking point behind the rankings. This is where the rankings came from. We wanted the Moscone to have a really good, firm structure for both Europe and USA. The top three for Team Europe are all off of one rankings, one world rankings, the top three. Simple. You know what? When I first started getting involved, I couldn't understand the rankings for Team Europe. I just couldn't understand it. I was like, so what? If this person gets in, there's a combined and then there's the world. It was, for a casual sports fan, it can get a little bit, you know, distressing as to when you're leading up and it's getting closer. So we also want to mimic this for Team USA. Now the top two get off of the Team USA rankings and get into the event. I mean, what more determination do these players want? You now, you're not. It's not about who you're friends with. It's not about who you know. It's about how you play and you earning your spot. And this is how we move from level one to level 10 for nine ball professional four. So that's where the rankings, you know, aspired from. And obviously it sparked a lot of dislike at the beginning because obviously we launched our rankings very early doors. But there would have been no point in launching rankings from a year ago. Because the whole point of us doing it was doing it at a point structure that we were happy and we saw fit. The reason why we launched and we were transparent about our rankings was because we wanted to be honest and we wanted to show our intentions. And I think the dislike came from a very much lack of understanding, which is fine, absolutely fine. And do you know what? If you like it or you hate it, I don't really mind. If everyone's talking about it, that's all that matters to me. But at the end of the day, and the most important thing here, is that we are now giving the opportunity for these players to earn their right into the best events in pool. Moscone Cup, you can earn for both Europe and USA at a more structured level. The World Pool Masters moving forward. Obviously, it was quite late for this year. All of the players are already contracted. The World Cup of Pool, obviously, we're looking at players now and the rankings are slightly early. So we take a sit back and we go, okay, we can't quite, you know, make calls on the rankings at the moment. But that's, you know, we know that. It is a slow process and we're starting off small. But again, we look to evolve and we look to grow the rankings. And I urge and I encourage and all I want is more promoters and more organizers to buy into this sport. Because as far as I'm concerned, if they want to come on board and be part of our rankings and host an event, absolutely. But you have to have a minimum prize money. You have to have a certain prize money for first place because we have the players' best interests at heart and they need to be traveling and grinding for the right events. So this is, you know, the whole thought process behind the rankings. And it's definitely a step in the right direction. Doesn't mean that we want to push anyone out. It just means that we wanted to really give players that opportunity to earn their right into our events. So, I mean, love it or hate it, that's absolutely fine. But it's for the players at the end of the day. And in 1 year's time, I would love for everyone to come and ask me as to how the rankings are getting on, because it 100% was the right move.
I think a lot of the pushback, at least in this, the pushback that I've seen is because there's no American players on there. And that is kind of, mm-hmm. of course, that's kind of like America's super special. And I addressed this on one of my previous podcasts. If you're going off of the results of your pool tournaments, and we've had one American in the final 16 of the U.S. Open, and we had one American mm-hmm. in the top four of the World Pool Masters, and our World Cup of Pool team didn't do very well. Won their first two and then lost.
Yeah. They did useless.
Yeah. And played very poorly again, along the way, too. You can't be in the rankings then.
Well, it's just the whole point about it is that it's a starting process. And so these ranking points are going to move. And, you know, Shane's going to make his way up there. But the players are all aware of this schedule now. They all know it. They're all going to travel. And this is how they're going to build on their rankings. So there's no point looking at it now and thinking, oh, okay, we've got no Americans in it. We can't run before we can walk. You know, we need to take a step back and look at the reasoning behind why we're doing it. Don't stand and looking at the actual world rankings right now, because that's not how it is. That's not why we've done it. We've not done it so we can just go, this is the world rankings. Federer's world number one. That's not why we've done it.
It's a screenshot in time.
Exactly. And so it's just how we move forward with that. Everyone having a clearer understanding of it. And we, you know, the USA, I personally, is my second home. I spend so much time out there. And I love the American fans, you know, absolutely fantastic. And I was so moved at the last Moscone Cup because I really felt they bought into the event. And so it's not because there's any disrespect to the American players whatsoever, but they need to pull their bloody socks up and they need to start winning.
I've never heard that analogy before. That must be a UK thing.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, that's funny. No, I agree. And if nothing else, getting people to talk about pool regularly on Facebook, I mean, what do they say? No publicity is bad publicity. This is
always.
This is definitely a good thing for the game to keep people engaged in the quote unquote off season. So it looks great.
It's okay to disagree with me, by the way. You don't always have to agree with me. I will fight my corner and I will always win, but it's okay to disagree. I won't judge you for it.
So then I can disagree with you right now. The World mm-hmm. Pool Masters, you have told me a couple of the players that are in, and I have a couple mm-hmm. problems with a couple players that are not in.
Go on then, tell me them.
Max Leshner needs to be in this event. He has been one of the top probably five pool players in the last 4 months, and I am offended that he is not in the World Pool Masters.
That's a very, very good point, and I couldn't agree with you more. But we will skip to your next player.
Ooh. No,
I couldn't agree with you more, honestly, and you win 100%. Next player?
My last player I think needs to be in it is Mario He. And Mario He, again, doesn't play in a ton of events around, but whenever he plays in the Euro Tour events or whenever he plays in the World Cup of Pool, I mean, the dude, I think I've seen him play like 40 matches at this point, and I think I've seen him miss one ball.
I mean, Mario is a fantastic player. Obviously, the World Pool Masters, it used to be 16 players, so it was even harder back then. Now we've increased it to 24. But Albin was a no-brainer. Albin is a fantastic player. And he is in the World Pool Masters. Obviously, it's tough for Mario, well, and tough for Albin, because they are two very strong players from, you know, one country as such, you know, very similar to, say, Ralph Souquet and Joshua Filler. But at the end of the day, this is the World Pool Masters. It's the 24 best players in the world. There are also ways to qualify for the event through our 8 selection processes, which I think 5 out of those would appeal to Mario. So there are other ways of getting into the event. If you don't earn your right on the wild card, you should earn your right through the qualification.
How can you disagree with that? Back to agreeing.
Okay.
So is there any other announcements that you'd like to talk about for the World Pool Masters?
There's some newer players in it, which, again, in line with our vision at Matchroom Pool, there are a lot of younger players coming through the ranks. There is one particular player that is a little bit controversial to put in, but I watched him play. I'm not going to give away names, but I watched him play at the World Nine Ball recently, and I was super, super impressed with his performance. The more I go on to it, the more people can guess who it is, but I will wait for the announcements, otherwise the team will kill me. But these are the kind of players that never got a look in before. They don't get the opportunity, and they didn't because they weren't known on the circuit. They weren't known with Matchroom. They weren't known as like a celebrity as such within the industry. There's also another American player that is very much, he really deserves an opportunity at this event. At the moment, we've got Shane Van Boning, we've got Skylar Woodward. Our third American player deserves this 100%. I'm not going to say who it is yet. I'm not going to ruin our announcement. But this player travels, he grinds, and he's performing very well recently. And I think will excel under the Matchroom cameras. Giving this player the opportunity at an event like the Whirlpool Masters is a real step up for a player like this, their career. You know, these are life-changing events for them. So they're two of those players I'm really looking forward to seeing. I mean, it could go completely wrong and they get, you know, busted 7-0 first round. But giving these players the opportunity that perhaps this would never have happened a few years ago. But again, Matchroom Pool, we are heading in a different direction. And this is great news for pool players who are grinding consistently. And that's what should be happening. There's also Yoann Chua, looking at, obviously, players. There's so many Filipino players that are just fantastic. And there's such a big pool to choose from. Yoann just appeals in a way that, you know, he's young, he's fresh. We think he'll excel again at the Whirlpool Masters in this type of event. And he was top of the rankings in the Philippines. So he deserved and he earned his spot. So some really interesting players here. And I think last year was a very good event. It was the first year where we really saw a showcase of the best pool, like the actual World Pool Masters. Now this year, my goodness, it is going to be the toughest World Pool Masters you will ever have seen. There are going to be 24 players that are neck and neck. They all deserve to be there and they all will really do well. And it's going to be a tough one as to who wins it. So that's what we're looking at. And that's the direction we're working towards.
If the finals of this year's World Pool Masters is half as entertaining as last year's, it'll be a great event.
I know. Poor Alex Kazakis.
He still catches flack from that. I feel so bad for him.
Oh, no. I don't.
He's like my favorite player outside of the U.S. I just like him a lot. So I guess at this point, is there anything else that you'd like to chat about?
So U.S. Open, we can't forget about that one. It feels like it was only yesterday that we actually announced it, but it's like we've had it like 10 years now. It's our second year this year. We smashed out of the park last year. But lots to change, lots to improve on. It's literally only 10 weeks away. It's the one time that I really can't stand Jake in our Matchroom team because he puts these wonderful graphics out, but I wake up to them or I see them and it's the worst news to me because I think, oh gosh, I've only got 10 weeks to go until the US Open. But, you know, I just urge that players and fans of pool, this is the event you need to come to. We're trying to change the atmosphere of these shows. Obviously, the Moscone Cup is on a completely different level. But the US Open is the one that you need to come and watch. If you haven't been in that arena and that atmosphere of 33 tables and 256 players, you must experience it. And I urge you to come. Mandalay Bay, the 13th to the 18th of April.
I guess we can wrap it up there, huh?
Okay, yeah, sounds good. Thank you.
So, all of these are going to be available. Again, if you cannot go in person, make sure to get over to DAZN to get your membership so that you can watch all of these events. Do not miss them.
Yes, please.
And with that, Emily, thank you again for joining me.
Thank you for having me. I will be shortly going to the airport.
Yep, so. And safe travels.
Thank you.
Hey everyone, thanks again for listening. If you like what you've heard and you listen through iTunes, please subscribe and leave a rating. It helps others find the podcast. As always, thank you to our sponsors, Jacoby Custom Cues, Cody's Cue Therapy, Jeff Glaz's CBD for Life Global, the Wisconsin Billiards Hall of Fame, The Rocks Sports Bar and Grill, the IQ Practice Cue Ball, and the Wisconsin Pool Player Society. If you like what you hear, consider supporting the people who support the podcast. I would also like to take this time to thank Matt Kitzman, Robert Miller, Natasha, Kurt Elliott, Scott Doolian, Corey Smith, William Sutherland, and Mike Teasy for their help to market the podcast to a larger audience. Lastly, I would like to thank my cousin Andrew Mindham for his band Hey Captain Knight's music as segment and filler music to the podcast. If you like what you hear, you can find all of his music at heycaptainknight.bandcamp.com. And Knight is K-N-I-G-H-T.